I mean, any other reason than that? But the ones, I'm wondering if you woke up this morning. I wanted to sleep in too. But are you here? Are you here? Mark chapter 11. We're going to finish up this series today on move, on what to do with mountain-sized problems in your life. And, you know, we've been hearing quite a bit over these last 10 weeks. Can you believe that? It's been 10 weeks. I've never done a series that long in my life. And this is, it's been good because I've actually learned stuff too. And the Lord's been revealing himself. But we've been talking all kinds of things about what do you do when you see a problem that's that big. And I'm sure some of you have faced problems that are that big. And some of you are probably facing problems that are that big. It seems like there's just not anything you can do about it. And there's not anything that you can, you know, I just don't know what to do. It's overwhelming. And that's the thing about problems. They don't care about your status in life. They don't care if you're rich, poor, good-looking, ugly, short, tall, fat, skinny. You know, they don't care if you're successful or the most non-successful person in the world. They don't care if you failed 1,000 times. They just keep on coming. Don't speak that over me. I didn't speak that over you. That's just the way it is. And so we've been talking about this for 10 weeks about what to do when it comes to that. And basically what we've boiled down to is you got to choose to believe what God's word says more than what your problem is telling you. Amen. You got to choose to believe that. Some people think that you know, it's really interesting because, you know, I talk to people outside of just standing up here in the pulpit, and some people almost act like the Word of God is like, and I'm going to say this and people are going to get nervous, but that's okay. Some people act like the Word is almost like a spell book. Like you could just say abracadabra, and if it's in the Bible, then it's just like lightning and it's just, you know, like magic words. That's not how this works. There are no magic words. And this is where some people have gotten tripped up. You know, they try this, and they speak the word expecting, you know, open sesame. Come on, somebody. Please don't be quiet on me today. Some people are expecting open sesame or abracadabra or alakazam and, you know, like rubbing the genie's lamp. And that's not what the word does. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, they didn't notice it was dead till the next day. So what happens when you speak the word or you believe God's word? And then, and that was the next thing. You have to speak the word and speak to the problem and speak to it from a position of authority, telling it what to do. You have to choose to believe that God's word and God's power went to work in the mountain as soon as you shut your mouth. If you don't believe that, then it's not doing anything. If you just speak it like alakazam or open sesame, it's not doing anything. That's not how this works. It is a speaking out of something and choosing to believe it. That's what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, when he was talking to and refuting to them after the fig tree died. They said, Master, the fig tree died. Verse 22 says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What does that mean? Have a strong opinion based on what God has said. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. So you have to first choose to believe what God's word says. You can't believe something unless you know what, you can't believe God's word unless you know what God's word says. And the slogan that I came up with was, put a fresh coat of the word on your faith before you try and use it. Just because you heard it in Sunday school 19 years ago doesn't mean it's solid in you right now. Remember our sandwich in the bag? That's why I've left those up there. So everybody, the sandwich in the bag. Nobody knows if there's a sandwich in the bag or not. You have to choose to believe whether I tell you there's a sandwich in the bag. And some of you think you're being wise and snarky and smarty and, you know, well, I can tell by the shape. And see, that's what's wrong with your faith right now. Well, I can tell because I remember hearing that back in the 1968 when I went to Sunday school. And my experience has taught me this. And my experience has taught, no, it can only be believed by what you hear. Okay? And so once you hear it, then you have to decide whether you believe it. Then you have to go and start speaking. That's what the bullhorn's up there for. The bullhorn is you speaking out. What do we speak out? The authority that we have over the problems because Jesus already defeated them. And the second thing is what God has to say about it. If God has something to say about your problem, then that's what we believe and that's what we speak out. And that's when we gave you a confession sheet. Now, how many of you have taken those confession sheets? Because there's still a big stack of them back there, and I'm wondering how many people have them. If you haven't taken one, you need to take it home with you. And you go, well, I'm kind of a digital person. Take a picture of one and put it on your phone and keep it with you. I would take one if I were you, and I'd put it on my refrigerator and on my computer and on my tablet and on my phone, and I would speak those things over me as much as I can because it is everything God has to say about you. And so we've been talking about these things for 10 weeks now, and last week was really, it was really quite important to really get down to understanding that when you believe what God's Word has to say about you, you have to look at it like this. God is in a contractual obligation. If He said it, then He's obligated to do it. Then I said to you, why would He put Himself in that kind of situation to have to accept that kind of responsibility? Well, it's because He's crazy about us. He loves us. You know, Jesus loves you. You know, we've all been singing that. If we grew up around or in church at all, we've been singing that since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. I mean, we've been singing that forever. I mean, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. What is that? That is faith in action. And you're confessing it. And the reason He puts Himself in a contractual obligation is because He loves us. And if He's spoken out, it's for us today. So we got that far. If you've haven't been here for all 10 of these, I would encourage you to get a copy of the of them on your phone. All of them are on there for digital MP3 versions. You can download them or you can just listen to them streaming. But then for those of you who are old school, I think that's the right word, or wants the ease of listening to it in your car without having to look for it, we do have CDs available back there. And you can pick up one of those and plop it right in your CD player. All 10 of them are back there, plus the bonus Wednesday night that we did. We did a Wednesday night bonus lesson on that. And all of those are in there. And I would encourage you to get, because listen to me, hearing it one time doesn't mean anything. You know, Jody and me and the boys went to go see Spider-Man Thursday night and loved it. Just geeking out, nerding out through the whole thing. And it was awesome. But I was noticing all of what they call Easter eggs, like references to other characters and other movies and things like that. And I was getting all excited. I'm like, oh, look, you know, hey, there's Captain America, and there's Iron Man, and, oh, they're referencing Deadpool here. And, I mean, I'm really just freaking out through the whole thing. And some of you are sitting there going, who cares about that? Listen to the point I'm trying to make. Okay? And here it is. I got online on Facebook yesterday, and somebody had gone through and named every Easter egg that was in Spider-Man. And catch this. Now, I've only seen it once. This guy must have seen it more than once. He named Easter eggs that I didn't catch. This is what I'm trying to get to. You can hear me preach on this one time, and that doesn't mean you got it. And that's what most of the time, most people don't become successful in their Christian walk because they only hear the pastor say it one time, and then that's it. I've fulfilled my duty for the week. Listen to me. This is not a duty. This is a lifestyle. And this is something you have to do over and over and over again. So I would encourage you to go get those CDs, or I would encourage you to download it on your phone and listen to it over and over again, all right, so that you can really know what to do when you are facing mountain-sized problems. Now, here's where we're going to end. What do we do in the meantime? While we're waiting on God to manifest the answer here. Now, what does that mean? That's a big King James religion-sounding word there. We'll manifest it here. What are we doing while we're waiting for the answer to show up? Okay? Now, we get here, and a lot of people, again, are looking for instant gratification. Sometimes instantaneous does happen, but not the majority of the time. The majority of the time, there is not an instant manifestation, or it doesn't instantly show up here. Now, praise God when it does. Oh, my goodness, when it does happen, it is a glorious moment. But let me tell you something. If those things happen instantaneously, it usually isn't because of faith. It's because of the goodness of God. Okay? And God doesn't honor his own goodness all the time. And some of you are like, what? That doesn't mean that his goodness isn't honorable, but he's not bound to just be good that way all the time. Actually, the Bible talks about, and we're not really got time to get into that, but if we were going to talk about spiritual gifts that Paul talked about, the Bible says those happen as the Spirit wills. But now God will honor your faith every time. If you'll believe his word, he will honor it every time. So what do we do in the meantime while we're waiting on what he honored to manifest or show up here? Because we believed we received. Remember that? We believed we received it when we prayed. When we went to God about this, we believe it was ours, and we say it. It's ours now. I have it now. Okay, y'all remember us talking about that? So what do we do when we go from I have it now to it actually showing up here now? That's a real challenge for some people. Because a lot of people in that space of time, however long it is, this is where people will tend to let down. They'll start saying, well, maybe I didn't do it right. And maybe I'm wrong. And maybe I'm just bad. And maybe God doesn't love me. And maybe God's just not going to do it this time. All right? Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to go first today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I want you to catch this because a lot of people trip and fall right here. They'll speak the word, they'll believe they receive, and then when they have to wait at any amount of time at all, they just stop. And they'll actually say it. Well, I guess I did it. I guess I'm not going to get it. Or this is a real popular one. I tried it. I mean, I did what you said. I've tried that. Look at what it says here, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let's stop right here for a second and look at that. Be strong in who? Not you. This is not a willpower thing. This is why some people get tripped up. Their willpower, listen to me, your willpower is going to fail. It's going to. It is going to fail. You're going to have moments of weakness, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to probably make things worse, and you're going to do things wrong, and you're going to, you know, trip and fall and hit the wall and any other kind of thing that you want to. Listen, that happens. That's why you can't depend on everything you do as being the measuring stick of whether God's going to show up or not. Listen, if it was based on everything we do, we're all in trouble. And we'll never get a blessing, ever. There wouldn't even be a mercy blessing if we're getting what our behavior dictates. Now, that doesn't mean we can go out and act as crazy as we want and do whatever we want and sin and you know, jump from bed to bed and bar to bar and act like crazy people. Come on now. We don't go out and act like heathen. But let me tell you something. We have weaknesses. The Bible uses this phrase to talk about them. Infirmities. Don't you love the King James? Infirmities. But if it's dependent strictly on my behavior and my actions and whether I do everything right or wrong, whether that moves, that thing's staying in there forever. Ever. All right? That's why I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That means if I speak it out and I do something stupid, that I'm going to run back and get forgiveness and stay strong in Him and believe that His grace is enough to cover up what I did stupid. Come on now. And still move the mountain. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's the one moving it. You don't need to be worried about it. You don't need to be freaking out and running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Then he says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, this is a big word right here, stand. If you got a paper Bible, I would circle that. Stand. If you got the Bible app, you can highlight it. Stand against the wiles of the devil. What in the world is a wile? Tricks, attacks, darts, whatever you want to call it. Okay, against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, we're in 13. Okay. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, this is the big part right here. And having done all to stand, verse 14, stand, therefore. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore. What does that mean? You've done everything you're supposed to do. You spoke to the mountain. You spoke God's word over your life. You chose to believe God's word more than what you're facing. You believed you received when you prayed. Come on now. We've gone and claimed grace for ourselves to cover up all of our stupid infirmities and bad things that we're going to do wrong. Now what am I going to do? Now I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to keep standing. What does stand mean? Well, the word stand means to raise up, to rise. Now, this is big here, and stand still. To raise up, to rise, and stand still, or to stop and be still. Now, what does that mean? Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. Once you've spoken to the mountain, once you believed you received, once you've decided to believe God's word is more true than what you're facing, then you need to calm down and stop running around and trying to make this impossible thing happen. Because if you could make it happen, you would have already done it. Now, a lot of times people do this. They pray, they speak to the mountain, they do all the steps, and then they run out and they start trying to force things to happen. Let me give you a good example. Now, how many of you have noticed, and if you haven't, then maybe you just haven't been around enough, but how many of you noticed that we've been putting some changes into the building here? I mean, especially out in the lobby, and we've painted in here, and we've been trying to, you know, upgrade. Now, for the longest time, I didn't want to spend any money here because this is not home forever. This is a tabernacle. And you go, what do you mean by that? This is a tent. You go, this is brick and mortar. No, this is a tent. We ain't staying here. I mean, this is a decent location for what we're doing right now. But listen to me. This is not it. This is not the promised land. This is not all the vision Pastor Brent has. No. This is the tent. And so I've been, would pray and believe God and you know I remember having a talk with Terry and Matt one time. We were praying and I said I've been speaking to this area to let go of my building or my land. You go, what do you mean? This somewhere here in this area, come on somebody, somewhere here in the Dr. Phillips Metro West, come on, area is a piece of land or a building that's got Direction Church's destiny tied to it. Come on somebody. And so I'm speaking to it, and I've been telling it for a while. You let go of my building. You let go of my land. Let go. And then we were getting ready to come to the end of our lease here. It was a 30-month lease. And we were coming to the end, and I'm speaking. And then Luke will tell you, we'd get in the car, and we'd drive around trying to find it. Where's that building at? Where's that piece of land at? And I'm not kidding you. I would. There's no praying about it. There was no seeking God about it. I'm just looking on you know, the apps and real estate and all kinds of stuff like that, and driving around and really calling on things and not getting any answers and I'm getting frustrated because I can't find it. And I'm looking all over the place, and I'm trying to make this happen because, well, I spoke to that mountain. Come on, I believe I received my building and my land or whatever. I believe I received it. I got faith that God said in Joshua, you'll get another land that wasn't yours. I stood still standing on that scripture. And I'm getting frustrated, driving around, not finding what I'm looking for. And God, the lease is coming up. Now, this has got to be, you know, it. I mean, you're going to have to do something here, and nothing. I'm not finding anything. And then we get on that. Let's drive over here and look at this one, and drive over here and look at this one, and can't get a hold of nobody. And when they do get a hold of somebody, they do crazy things. Well, we don't really want a church in there, but, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to talking to you. Can you afford $50,000 a month? Frustrated, y'all. Frustrated. And so I finally just settled in my spirit. I'm gonna re-sign the lease. Now let me tell you something. My pride was very much hurt by that. Now let me tell you something. You'll miss God 100% of the time when you put the limitations on the action. You will miss God 100% of the time when you dictate it has to be like this. And I know a lot of Word of Faith and Christians right now who are missing God because they say it has to be like this right now. Just had a conversation with somebody a week or two ago about that. Well, but you know, our lease is coming up, and it, you know, I mean, and I'm like, yeah, and have you found anything? No. Have you prayed about it? Of course. Are you believing God for it? Yeah, of course. Then you need to sit back and wait till it shows up. Well, but then I'm just being lazy and slothful, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. The moment that you want it so bad that you try to make it happen yourself, you're not in faith anymore, even if you did speak to that mountain. Why? Because your faith isn't in God anymore. It's in you. And then when you drive around and you find the building that you want or the house you want or whatever you want, then you can sit back and go, see, I did it. When he says to stand, therefore, he's saying stand still. Stop. Stop trying to force this thing to happen. Psalm chapter 46, verse 8 says this, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now I want you to notice what he's doing here. He's being strong in the Lord, not in himself. Now, if you know anything about the armies of Israel, they knew how to fight. Come on, somebody. They still know how to fight. They still know how to fight. I mean, the psalmist actually said this. He goes, I don't trust in my bow and my spear and my arrows. But you can be for sure they knew how to use it. All right? Just because you know some things, listen, if that's all you needed, you'd already have your answer. You have to stop trying to force things to happen and sit back and let the power of God work. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. We're going to get to that in a minute. But when he says, be still and know that I am God, the word know doesn't mean just knowledge. Here's what it means. It means to recognize, to admit, to acknowledge, and to confess. What's he saying? Be still and just acknowledge that I'm doing this for you. Amen. Be still and recognize, but I just feel like I'm not doing enough. Be still and recognize God's doing something in your life. Amen. Be still and recognize. Be still and confess. Be still and admit. You don't got what it takes, but he does. Amen. When action, let me ask you this. What action recognizes, admits, acknowledges, and confesses that God is what you need him to be, and he is giving to you and shows that you believe that you have it now? What action that we could do shows that? Well, some people would say pray. Well, let me say this. If you pray about it, you don't need to pray about it again. So what we're doing in the meantime is we're not praying again. Some people, now listen to me, I know everybody means well, and I know that people, you know, and I don't want any condemnation to be like on anybody when I say this, but there's some people that say, we need to continue to pray. Now, it's a bad place to get quiet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to continue to pray. What have I said to you? No, we don't. Oh, I can see them rocks coming up off the ground right now. Put in your hands, ready to throw them at me. Whoa. What have I said to you? No, we don't need to pray again. And we don't need to continue to pray. Now, that doesn't mean we don't ever pray again about anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about this mountain. I don't need to pray about this mountain more than once. Who's nervous? I don't need to continue to keep asking God to move it. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you receive and you believe you receive at the moment you prayed, then what do we need to pray and ask again for if we already have them now? Come on, somebody. Why do I need to ask for it again if I believe that I received it already when I prayed over here? Why do I need to ask again? Okay. The answer is already yours. When was it? It was mine when I believed I received when I prayed. Okay. If we pray again, listen to me. This is important. If we pray again, we are believing we receive it then, or should be praying it anyway. Therefore, we're undoing what we believe we received when we prayed the first time. Okay, if I'm here on July the 9th, and I pray, I believe I receive, you know, whatever you have need of, a new job. I believe I receive a new job. And then tomorrow morning, I get up and I say, God, I need a new job. Guess what I just did? What I prayed on Sunday? I didn't really believe it anyway, and if I did, I undid it. Just untied it. Now some of you are going, whoa. How's that working out for you? Praying over and 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 over. How's that working out, really? It's dead silent in here. When we believe, we receive, when we pray, means I only got to pray about it once, and I don't need to continue to pray. Okay? I've gotten to the point in my life right now, I've stopped asking more than once. There's no reason for it. I ask, I believe I receive, I don't bring it up the same way anymore. If I'm going to talk to God about it, it's not the same. It's not going to be asking anymore. Lord, I ask you to do that. I'm not asking him anymore. Okay? Now, I want everybody to just imagine being around a little kid. Your own, somebody else's. And they ask a question. And then they ask you again. And even if you give them the answer, listen to me. You know, Dad, are we going to go see Spider-Man Thursday night? Yes, son. It starts at 10 Thursday. We're going to Spider-Man. Okay. Guess what I heard all day long Thursday? Hey, Dad, are we going to see Spider-Man? Hey, Dad, are we going to see Spider-Man? Hey, Dad, well, are we going to see Spider-Man? Son, what did I tell you earlier? Yes. Ain't nothing changed. Why do you keep asking me? I just want to make sure. I want to make sure we're going to see Spider-Man. Now, let me ask you a question. Those of you who've been around little kids that do that, doesn't that get annoying? Have you ever caught yourself saying this when they keep asking, Dad, 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 or Mom, 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 Mom? Peyton just ordered some kind of, he had some money, and he ordered a toy online, and he asked Jody every day, is my toy here yet? Is my toy? And multiple times, did it come in yet? Because we order it from Amazon or whatever. Is it here yet? 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 No. And I'll let you know when it gets here. Is it here? 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 Finally, it gets to the point where it's like, nothing's changed. And if you keep asking, this is what we usually say. If you keep asking, we're not going to see Spider-Man. If you keep asking, come on. I'm sending it back as soon as it gets here. Some of you are like, wow, you're just bad parents. See that two before sticking out of your own eye right there? Now listen to me. Now thank God he's gracious. Man, God is so gracious and he's merciful. But how many of you know that it's better to do the right thing all the way so you don't have to rely on grace as much? Don't get me wrong, grace is for us. Mercy is for us. But I can get a whole lot further if I don't have to have the mercy. Let me put it another way. Let me put it another way. Y'all know the tabernacle. There was also the temple that took its place. The tabernacle is where they used to worship God when they were wandering around in the desert. And for years, even after they became their own country, they had and this was a big tent, and they would set it up. It was real elaborate, and the presence of God would come there and dwell there. And it was a big cloud. And on the outside of what they would consider there was different parts of it. There was the outer courts and the inner courts, and then there was the most holy place. Now, those were three different areas, and I don't have time to teach you the whole thing, but the most holy place was the very inside where the presence of God actually dwelt. And it was behind this big veil, and that's, to go in there, that was, everything had to be pure and clean and holy, and all right. Then on the outside of there was something called the outer courts. This is where they prepared everything to go inside. Pure gold. Now listen to me. Everything in that room was pure gold. Okay, then way out there, okay, that was the inner courts. The outer courts was like a courtyard where they sacrificed animals. People would bring in their sacrifices, and they would kill them out there and burn them on a big altar out there. Everything out there was made of bronze. Now, if you know anything about bronze is not a bad, it's not a bad metal. I mean, that's what you get for third place in the Olympics. I mean, come on. It's not something that's cheap. It's not something that's bad. But how many of you know gold's better? Amen. Why, how do you know that? Well, gold's first place in the Olympics. Come on, somebody. You don't see too many people buying wedding rings made out of bronze. Come on, somebody. Most people will buy out of gold. Why? Because gold is precious. It's more. Now, that is not just for us to just go, wow, that's a history lesson from the Bible. No, what it means is the closer you get to the presence of God, you replace good, come on, with better, and eventually best. The best of what? Best you have in your heart. And so the more you know in your heart, come on, the more of God's will you know in your heart, that's more of the gold. Now, sometimes we get to the point where we're different carats of gold. You know, how many of you know 24-karat gold is real soft and mushy, and you can almost bend it with your fingers. Most people have 14-karat gold on their rings. Why? Because they put a little something extra in there and it makes it harder and it can do different things and stuff like that. But it still isn't pure. That's what we're talking about. If we want to go ahead and keep praying, God's grace covers that. But let me tell you something. That's bronze. God's grace and mercy is good for us. Listen, He'll cover up and He knows the desires of our hearts. And I don't want you to feel condemnation about it. But I am trying to transform you from just a bronze life into a gold life. Why? Because the more you get that's closer to what He wants, the more apt you're able to tap in and get what He's trying to get to you. And so it isn't for us to keep praying. We don't need to keep praying and praying and praying and asking and asking. God, I just need a new job. God, come on, I really want a new job. God, please give me another job. You know, God, please change my situation. Please help me. Please change it. Please, God, please, please, please. And you sound like a five-year-old talking to their kid, come on, or their parent about going to the movie. When if we can find out what God says and believe it and choose to believe that we receive when we pray, we ask Him one time, we know what His will is about the situation, and then we're just, I'm going to the movies to see Spider-Man. Calm, cool, and collective. All right? There is a difference in having to change and have to adjust and ask for something different. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pray about the situation again if it's changed. Sometimes people are believing for healing, and they're believing for healing from, let's just make something up here, we're believing for healing from migraine headaches. Let's make that up. I'm believing for healing from migraine headaches. And then a test comes back and shows you that it's actually not migraine headaches, it's because you have a slipped disc in your neck that's pinching a nerve. So now, if I go back to God and say, God, I need you to heal the slip disc in my neck that's pinching on my nerve. That is not me praying for migraine headaches again. Come on, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've actually learned something that's caused me to have to change what I'm asking for. I'm not praying again. I'm praying new. Big difference. Big difference. Some people go, oh, man, that just seems like a whole lot of nonsense for me. How's it working out for you doing it your way? Okay, it's okay to pray new. It's not okay to keep praying over and over again about the same thing. All right? So, if I'm not supposed to pray again, then what is it? What action causes me to acknowledge and confess and know that God, and be while I'm standing still, what can I do? Here it is. You need to open your mouth and thank God in advance while you're standing still and haven't seen anything. Amen. Well, what am I thanking it for? I haven't said anything. I don't see no difference. Yeah, but you believed you received it, and it's yours. We got to stop forcing, stop trying to make it happen, and focus on the person who is what you need Him to be. I got to focus on Him. I don't need to focus on the stuff. Y'all know that song, All Around Me is Sinking Sand? On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, everything around me is sinking sand. Well, how do you know that Christ is the solid rock on which you stand? Well, I'm focused on where I'm standing. You ever had to stand in a really tight place before? You really are thinking about what you're doing. Every movement causes you. Come on. Just this morning, I was walking back through there in the sound booth, and Darnell was camped out there at the computer. Well, me and Darnell in the same space. It better be a big space. Amen? Between me and him, sharing spaces. And so I'm having to, you know, lean over him, and I kind of pushed on him. I said, "It's okay, don't move in or anything." But I'm very keenly aware of how much of my body is doing what. You know, I mean, what it's doing. I'm very keenly. Why? I don't want to fall on him and hurt him, because I'm a load myself. And at the same time, I don't want to get myself caught on anything and hurt me. So I'm very keenly aware of every step I'm taking and every movement I'm making. That's what he's talking about in the song. I'm not focusing on the sinking sand around me. I'm focusing on the solid rock on which I stand. Amen. All right? Praise and thanksgiving is the ultimate act of recognizing God is what you need. It admits God is what you need. It acknowledges God is what you need. And it is for sure a confession that God is what you need. If you will praise God and thank God in advance, before your answer shows up here, it will actually ensure the manifestation, because you're keeping your eyes on him. Now, do you remember last week when I said to you, haul y'all? Sounds like a country word. It's actually a Hebrew word. Haul y'all means to turn into. And that's what he says, I am. He says, tell him I am. It's the word haul y'all, which means to turn into and make things better for you. What does it mean? God will literally turn into what you need. Amen. Well, I need a new job. Haul y'all. Well, I need a new husband. Haul y'all. I'm serious. Listen to me when I say this. God becomes what you need. And if you'll thank him before that, it will actually ensure the manifestation, because you're keeping your eyes on him. And let me tell you something. When you praise him in advance and thank him in advance, and your eyes are on him, you literally can see him manifest and turn into it right in front of you. Like, am I going to see like a movie transformation, like a transformer or something? I mean, no, because it's spiritual. You're keeping your eyes focused in the spirit, but then all of a sudden, you're driving that new car. Come on. Amen. That husband's lost 10 pounds. Come on. That recruiter calls you and says, hey, hey. Those things start happening. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, haw y'all, and that he is a rewarder, giver, of those who diligently seek him. How do I seek him? I'm going to praise him and thank him. Faith will thank God for being what you need and receive him as the answer that you need right now, spiritually speaking, before it sees him do it in the natural. So I'm going to praise him with everything in my heart or my spirit. I'm going to praise him that way before I see it here. Right. Meaning this, the doctor's report says this, Lord, I thank you that I'm not that, I'm healed. My bank reports are going to tell me this. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not that. I am. My needs are met, because of you. And I'm going to keep my. I'm not that. I am. My needs are met. Okay. If you had it in your hands right now, how would you thank the person that gave it to you? Now, seriously. If you was believing for a new car and somebody walked up to you and handed you the keys and the title to a brand new car and said, here you go, I just felt led to do this, how would you act? I mean, seriously, because most people would go, I don't know. I'd have to be in that situation. Well, go ahead and let your overactive imagination put you in that situation. How would you act? I mean, I would probably be pretty excited. I'd probably cry. I'd probably grab them and hug them. I'd probably jump up and down a little bit. I probably wouldn't worry about what everybody thought about me at the time, because I just got what I was wanting. Amen. 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 That is how you should praise and thank God before it shows up here. But Pastor Brent, that seems backwards. No. It's actually the way God wants us to act. Why? Because it shows that we trust Him 100%. This is the first step to standing still. Praise and thanksgiving to God because we already found out what God had to say about it. We chose to believe Him. We spoke our authority over the problem. We confessed His promise over our life. We believe we received it when we prayed. And now we are standing still and we are thanking Him for the physical manifestation of this thing coming to pass right here, right now. Now, some people believe that there has to be more to it than that. There's got to be more to it than me just standing there going, Lord, thank you for doing this in my life. There's got to be more to it than that. Okay? If there was an action that you could take, wouldn't you have already taken it? Okay? Write this down. Thankfulness in advance is a very powerful statement of your faith that unleashes God's power to a greater extent. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now let me tell you what's going on here. Jehoshaphat is a king, and he's going to war with the army. He's taking Israel's armies to war. And his battle plan was to put a choir out in front of the army. Here's all these guys loaded to the gills and a bunch of Lukes in front of them. Seriously, they're all out there in skinny jeans. Come on. Some of them have holes in them. Listen, that's what he's got out there, is a bunch of people that are just going to lead the army in worship. Now, they're going to fight. They're going to battle. They're not going, to church. They're facing a real mountain. Okay? If you take that kind of mentality and compare it to any famous general, they would faint if they said that's your strategy. I mean, they would call for your dismissal. Impeach that guy. Who puts a praise and worship band out in front of the army? Seriously, I mean, we've got the United States Army and the Marines and the Air Force, and everybody's coming, and we have, Jesus culture walking out in front of them, and everybody just playing a guitar, playing a drum as they're walking. I mean, that's just, I want you to think about it. On one side are three enemy armies. This is what's happening in the story. They've all come together to fight Israel, three countries, all right? Then here's the Israelites with a bunch of people praising God out in front of them. What are they standing on? I will give you this land that flows with milk and honey, and it shall be yours. Wherever you go to possess it will be yours. Well, that's what they're praising God for. Well, how can they be praising God if there's a three-nation army coming against them? I mean, God, didn't you tell me this was going to be ours? Yep, ain't nothing changed. We're still going to see Spider-Man. This land is still yours. Come on, somebody. This milk and honey flowing, that's still yours. But there's people coming to take it from me. Why don't you just thank me that I said that? Okay. The Israelites were thanking God in advance for the victory. Praise and thanksgiving is the ultimate verbalization of your faith. If you thank God after the fact, that's actual gratitude. If you thank God before it happens, that's faith. That was a truth bomb in some of your lives, and you needed to grab a hold of that. If you thank God after, it's gratitude. If you thank God before, that's faith. Come on, what pleases God? Gratitude or faith? Exactly. All right? I'm going to read this to you real quick because we got to hurry. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. What happened? They started fighting each other. Okay? And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. What's going on here? Lord, thank you that you said this land was ours, that it would flow with milk and honey, and wherever we went to possess it would be ours. Thank you, Lord, for that, as they're sharpening their swords, ready to go to battle. Well, that don't make no sense. Don't waste your time trying to make something happen when you know you haven't been able to do it. God knows how important this thing is to you. He knows how much you need that thing moved. How big it is to you, how much pain you're in, how big the need is. And if you begin to thank him now for the answer, you'll move closer and closer to the manifestation because he will move you there. Yeah. Lillian B. Yeomans tells a story of a lady that was in her, Lillian B. Yeomans was a doctor way back 100 years ago. And she had a house in Texas that she would bring sick people that were terminally ill. And she would put them in their rooms at this big house that she had. And, of course, she was a doctor, so she could care for them. And yet she would also preach to them. And almost every one of them, she always got them healed, and they would leave. Fine. Well, this one lady was there and had been there for quite a while, and she wasn't getting any better. She wasn't dying, but she wasn't getting any better. And she laid there. And she laid there, and she laid there, and she laid there, and she wasn't getting healed. And Dr. Yeomans had preached to her, listened to her, believed she received when she prayed. She said, we don't understand. Well, we're going to figure this out. And so she went, and she prayed, and she said, you go to pray tonight. I'm going to pray tonight, and we're going to figure out what's going on here. And they prayed about it. And the Lord showed Dr. Yeomans a scale. And on one side it said prayer. And on the other side, it said praise, and the prayer side was loaded and completely all the way down to the ground, and the praise side didn't have anything in it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her in the dream and said, tell her that the moment her praise equals out her praying, she'll get her answer instantly. And so she went in and told her that, and she said, that little lady laying there on the bed just started changed completely. And she said, oh, I'm so glad I'm healed. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that I don't have whatever disease she had. And I'm so glad that I walk in divine health, and it's mine, and I thank you. And she started praising God there, and she said for 3 days, all she did, people walking by the room, that's all she heard. For 3 days, coming out of that room was her just laying there praising God. Third day, instantaneous healing, jumped up out of the bed, and never came back. Why? Because praise is the ultimate expression of your faith. Now, I got one more thing to say, and we'll let you go, all right? The next thing you need to do while you're standing still, while you're praising God, is you need to arrest thoughts that speak against what you're believing for and replace them with something else. Because many people think while they're standing in faith, I'm just going to believe God, and it's all going to be good, and as soon as the first thought comes, they're train wrecked. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Glory! We all love that part. How do we do that? Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To cast down means to take down from above, to destroy, to vanquish, or to dethrone. And to put into captivity means to capture and cease in operation like a prisoner of war. Negative thoughts will come against you while you're standing there looking at the mountain. When it looks like it, and you speak to it, and not one pebble falls off of it. The negative thoughts come. And I don't care how sanctified or on fire or a faith veteran you are, those thoughts will come. Okay? But you don't have to let those thoughts run wild in your head and in your heart. You have the power to stop negative thoughts. When they come, you just say, no, I'm not going there. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, a person is what he thinks about all day. How many times do you think about your problem all day long? Okay? If you allow them to run wild, they will take root and cause you to reap that harvest. You have to stop them when they come instead of choosing to believe those things more than what God said about every situation. Bill Meyer says this, every thought is a seed. If you plant crab apples, don't count on harvesting golden delicious. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all mankind. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Another translation says this, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, here's these big words again, with thanksgiving, there's your praise part, okay? Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God who surpasses all understanding will then guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? After I say no, I'm not freaking out about this, I'm not thinking about this, I'm not going there, I'm going to stand up and praise God right in the middle of this, then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he gives us something to think about. What should we be thinking? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Well, what's true? God's word. Whatever things are noble? God's word. Whatever things are just? Come on, God's word. Whatever things are pure? Whatever things are lovely? Whatever things of good report? Yes. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't allow your mind to and stray thoughts of you not getting your answer get in there. They'll come. You can shoo them away. All right? You need to capture them and replace them with the good things, the noble things, the things of good report. Okay? Arnold Bennett says, your own mind is a sacred enclosure into which nothing harmful can enter except by your permission. Now, what happens if I decide I'm not going to think about that? I mean, is that really going to change something? According to James, it is. James chapter 4, verse number 7 says this, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, listen to me. The devil doesn't come like this. Ah, I'm the devil. I'm going to kill you. He doesn't. He doesn't show up, you know, like all the movies. You know. He doesn't show up with the red, you know, suit with the, you know, tail and the horns and the pitchfork and the perfectly goatee. It's not waxed down perfect. And he doesn't show up like that. All right? Most of the time, he comes as a thought. He isn't growling at you. He's subtly talking you out of God's blessings by planting thoughts that are contrary to God's word about your situation. Come on, you can't get by without that. You can't stop doing that. You can't be this. Your marriage is going to fail. You're going to get fired. Nobody likes you. Come on, somebody. And if he can get you to think something contrary about your situation, maybe he can get you to think something else and eventually just give it all up together. That is why when those thoughts come, you have to capture them and say, no, 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 I'm not going there. My mountain is moved. God's word says so. I refuse to think otherwise. Well, what if it comes back? Well, then you do it again. Well, what if I think it again? Well, then you go and make yourself think something else. This is what the Bible calls well-doing. And it's something we're not supposed to get tired of. Be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because we'll reap a harvest if we faint not. When the thoughts come, no. When it comes, no. When it comes, no. But, Brent, I've thought that, I had to do that all day yesterday. Guess what? You just spent a day getting closer to your answer. Well, yeah, but I feel like I've been doing that for a month. Well, you just spent a whole month getting closer to your answer. And if you stop and you start letting those thoughts overwhelm you, guess what? You just wasted a month. You just wasted a day. Brother Hagin used to say this, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest in your hair. Those thoughts are going to come, but you are the one that decides if they stay. And if you don't, and you throw them out, and you start meditating on the goodness of God while you're waiting, you're getting closer and closer and closer. And while I'm waiting for it to show up, I will stand still and praise God and keep my mind on the answer. Amen. Praise God. Heads bowed, eyes closed.